This podcast is brought to you by the Legarten Institute. I'm Sianne Hansen, Executive Director, and we hope you enjoy this conversation.
Good evening. My name is Mary Schutzer-Weissman, and I'm Programme Coordinator at the Legarten Institute for the Culture of Prosperity Programme. And here with me is Professor Hugh Bowen, Professor of Modern History at the University of Swansea and the leader of the Copper Regeneration Programme in the Lower Swansea Valley. He's here today to give a lecture for our History of Capitalism lecture series, which in 2016 will focus on the role of cities. Hugh, thanks for coming. I have a few questions for you. Okay. Which city in history, in your opinion, has been most central to human flourishing?
That's an incredibly difficult question to answer. And the real danger is, I think, of not taking a long view or alternatively being quite Eurocentric about it. But having said that, all factors considered, I think I've got to go for London. The flowering of London, brief though it may have been, right, between, say, 1688 and 1914, I think brought together a unique set of circumstances that shaped many things, certainly shaped the city and its institutions, particularly finance. It certainly shaped a particular trading world. It lay behind the growth of an enormous empire. And culturally, I think it lay behind the development of a particular form of capitalism, which influenced the development of what you might call the first global economy that came into being in its fully fledged form in the 19th century. That's a culture perhaps now known as gentlemanly capitalism, a set of mores and values which influenced the whole way in which London projected its values out onto the world, creating obviously an empire, but a huge sterling trading area as well. Now, obviously, the benefits, if we're talking about flourishing, are accrued, largely speaking, by Great Britain itself. And there is a downside to all of this in the sense that much of what London did or lay behind was exploitative, extractive. We think of coercive empires, the slave trade, etc., etc. But I think in the broader sense, if we're talking about economic impact, I can't think of any other city that has so sharply influenced a particular period of time.
But you don't think it's sort of in its heyday anymore, implied?
I think nowadays we're looking at multi-centred certainly financial institutions. London is obviously still up there, but a lot of what defined it has long since gone. The Port of London, for example, now is no longer as dominant as it was. Mm-hmm. There isn't an empire that's governed from London anymore. But nonetheless, I think, you know, the city and its institutions, they endure, and there are still sets of values that are evident within the world economy.
And which city has had the greatest impact on you personally?
Well, I think that the city that's had the greatest impact on me probably was Calcutta. Calcutta, as perhaps we should now call it. Simply because it was the first Asian city that I'd had extended contact with. I went there to live and research for 6 to 8 weeks, not an enormous length of time. But it had a very profound impact on my sense of the vitality and energy of Asia. I went there very narrowly to research colonial history, and I was interested in colonial architecture, the architecture of the Raj and all these sorts of things, and duly went sightseeing and saw all the things that need to be seen there. But as I got better to understand the city and went, as it were, off the straight and narrow, you encounter a Calcutta that is incredibly vitalic in terms of its art, its poetry, its culture, its science. This was really almost in the pre-internet era, and it had a remarkably powerful print culture, bursting with ideas, and standing cheek by jowl, of course, with extraordinary levels of poverty, one then has these remarkably powerful sort of cultural institutions that left a really enduring mark on me.
And which city do you think might be one to watch for the future?
I think one to watch probably, again, in Asia, and I'll go back to India, perhaps not one of the most obvious ones, but I think Bangalore, very important in the sense that it's a relatively new kid on the block in its most recent manifestation. It is a historic city, very important in the state of Mysore as a sort of strategic centre for many hundreds of years. But its reinvention over the last 30 years in terms of its embracing of information technology in particular, it's a cliche to call it the Silicon Valley of India. But hey, sometimes cliches are accurate. But that has given rise to an enormous concentration of expertise there, which sees now around the IT industry many scientific institutions, technological institutions, and this is a city that is playing on the global stage in a very powerful way. Perhaps not immediately obvious to everyone. Because it's not trading in a conventional way. But nonetheless, I think its impact is very profound indeed. So that's certainly one to watch.
Interesting. And your lecture today is on Swansea. Why should this matter to us today?
Well, that might come as a surprise to people. Swansea, best known for having a Premier League football team, I suppose, at the moment. But in historic terms, what the story of Swansea really tells us or demonstrates to us is the way in which at a particular moment of time, a series of circumstances driven by or connected by, would be a better phrase, connected by a particular form of capitalism can have a very profound projection onto a world stage. And what Swansea did was create the world's first globally integrated heavy industry, and that's the copper industry. Swansea became known as Copperopolis because it absolutely dominated the smelting of copper during the middle of the 19th century. Because what it did, or what the entrepreneurs behind its growth did, was stitch together extraordinarily complex supply chains and distribution networks that brought into play and centred in Swansea very far-flung outposts, if you like, mines that were located in North America, South America, Australia, Europe, because Swansea itself has no copper ore deposits. And this industry had its entire nerve centre, if you like, within only a few square miles of incredibly densely industrialised valley floor. It is also important, I think, because as that industry went into decline in the early 20th century, Swansea was faced with very profound problems related to industrial despoilation, dereliction, and was quickly out of the blocks in the post-war years in an attempt to come to terms with that. And a very, very ambitious regeneration project was put in place in the 1960s, which, again, I think it's fair to say would be world-leading. This was the Lower Swansea Valley project, which was an attempt to put that industrial past behind it in an attempt to create a new environment, new society, new forms of economic enterprise. And now Swansea is again reinventing itself with almost a second phase of regeneration, which promises very good things for the future. The key to that, I think, though, is not forgetting about the past, which is what put Swansea on the map in the first place.
Might that also be the case for Bangalore, your suggestion for the city to watch to the future?
I think so, yes. Yeah. There is a striking parallel there, yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I look very much forward to hearing your lecture.
Thank you.
To hear more podcasts from the Legatum Institute, please visit our iTunes channel or website at www.li.com.